Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you once again for the opportunity to share God's word with you on World Leprosy Day. Today's passage appears in all three synoptic gospels, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, as we heard, and in Luke chapter 5, from verse 12. So we can be confident, therefore, not only that this event definitely happened, but that it was very significant, and that the writers of the Gospels saw this incident as a vital component of the good news. The good news, which is God's revelation to his creation through the words, deeds, life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. The fact that there are also other Gospel stories in which Jesus healed people affected by leprosy, including 10 men at one time in Luke chapter 17, is further confirmation that this was an important aspect of his ministry. Indeed, in Matthew chapter 11, when confusion has arisen with John and his disciples about who Jesus really was, the curing of people with leprosy is part of the evidence that Jesus tells them to report to John to confirm that he really was the Messiah. So what is it about leprosy that particularly appealed to Jesus and stirred his compassion? Jesus lived in a society where medical care was very limited, and even that which existed would have cost more than most ordinary people could afford. Therefore, there must have been other medical conditions, like leprosy, which caused physical disabilities. Disabilities leading to an inability to perform physical work, and therefore consigning people to unemployment, poverty, and complete dependence upon others. Indeed, we read in the Gospels that Jesus did heal people with many different complaints. Soon after today's passage, we read about Jesus healing a man who was paralyzed and who was carried before him on a mat. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, 12 to 26, we hear that they couldn't get near Jesus with the man on the mat because of the crowds, so they lowered him down through the roof. What great faith those people showed in doing this to obtain Jesus' healing. And what a blessing to that man who was then able to pick up his mat and walk away. Leprosy, however, is different. Leprosy is caused by inhalation of a mycobacterium, just like TB, which damages the nerves, leading to ulceration and clawing of the hands and feet, as we discussed earlier. But it was never seen just as a physical condition. And nor is it today in so many parts of the world where it is still prevalent. For centuries, leprosy has been seen, wrongly, as a curse, feared as highly contagious, even though we now know that it isn't, and it was therefore responsible for the complete social exclusion and rejection of those people affected by it. So in contrast, the paralyzed man in Luke 5 on the mat was lucky. He had friends who would carry him to Jesus on a mat, friends with the confidence, the courage, and the physical strength to haul him onto a roof, to cut it open, and to lower him down. And all of this, it seems, with no record in the Bible of anyone trying to stop them. That probably wouldn't have happened with someone affected by leprosy. The people with leprosy in the Bible didn't have such friends. We only ever encounter them alone or with other people affected by leprosy. They were cast out, condemned, not only as physically damaged, but also as spiritually unclean. Someone with leprosy would never have been lowered through a roof into the midst of a crowd, not only for a lack of able-bodied friends willing to carry them, but because the crowd themselves would have flogged them or stoned them out of town for making everybody else unclean and therefore unacceptable to God, according to the rules laid down by Moses, which you can read in Leviticus chapter 14. It's no surprise, therefore, that the man with leprosy in today's passage was desperate, and he flung himself to the ground, begging for help. The gospel passage doesn't tell us how long he had had the disease. It doesn't tell us whether he had been forced to leave behind a wife or children when he would have been expelled from his family and his community. What we do know, however, is that from that day on, he would have known only rejection, shame, neglect, abuse and humiliation in his dealings with other people. And we know this because it still happens today to too many people People I've met in several countries, especially in India and Nepal, where leprosy is still prevalent and often highly stigmatized. So what should surprise us? We're not surprised that he fell down begging for mercy, but what should surprise us is what the man says when he falls before Jesus. Now, Matthew's gospel tells us that he encountered Jesus as he came back down from delivering the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is coming back down from that famous Sermon on the Mount, and he encounters this man on his way back down. And he says to him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." How did this man know that Jesus was Lord? He hadn't heard him preaching in synagogues. The temple guards would never have let him in. He wouldn't even have heard him preaching on the Mount, because the crowd would have kept him away. If he'd caught leprosy in his youth, he wouldn't even have had any religious instruction, because what rabbi would defile themselves teaching someone that they saw not even as a person, but only as a leper? And we never use that word anymore. And yet, this man with leprosy, this broken man, existing at the very margins of Jewish society, knew instinctively something that even the Pharisees and the most learned religious leaders in Jerusalem had not yet recognized. He knew that Jesus is Lord. He knew that Jesus can make people clean again, even when Jewish law has condemned them. He knew that Jesus can heal the sick and the broken. And he knew that Jesus can make choices which are invested with the authority of God. The man didn't presume that Jesus would heal him, nor that he wouldn't. He recognized Jesus' divine power and authority and simply said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And of course the man was right. Jesus had the power and the authority to heal, and he was willing to do so, because he showed compassion to this man with leprosy, just as he showed compassion to all the other outcasts of Jewish society, the people possessed by demons, the tax collectors, the Roman soldiers, the Samaritans, the women with long-term bleeding, and so on. Throughout the Gospels, we see this again and again, Jesus' compassion for the outcast. So there's a powerful lesson for all of us here. Sometimes spiritual discernment can be found in the most unlikely places. And this is proven by the fact that this outcast with leprosy recognized Jesus for who he really was long before the religious authorities of the day could figure it out. So what could we learn about God from those who are outcasts from our society? Perhaps what could we learn about God from the man in the room next door that we don't always learn from here? So this realization about who Jesus was spread quickly with the news of what Jesus had done for this man, such that Jesus' whole ministry was changed by it. We read in Mark's gospel that after this healing, he could no longer preach openly in the towns. He stayed in the lonely places, but people came to those places and sought him out. Thus we see that Jesus' interaction with a man with leprosy was a turning point, not only for the man with leprosy, but actually also for the ministry of Jesus. From then on, his ministry changed. So what does all this mean for us today on World Leprosy Day here in the UK in 2019? Healing from leprosy is no longer dependent only upon miracles. We have multi-drug therapy which can kill the Mycobacterium leprae. We have steroid drugs and physiotherapy regimes which can reduce the nerve damage. We even have reconstructive surgeons who can restore mobility to hands which have become clawed. So if these treatments are available, why does leprosy still cause so much suffering today? As I speak, there are over 3 million people worldwide living with disabilities caused by leprosy. Leprosy is a disease of poverty. It is most prevalent in those communities which lack proper sanitation, good nutrition, and access to effective healthcare services. Places like India, Nepal, and many parts of sub-Saharan Africa. Myths, prejudices, and fears still surround this ancient disease, as they did in biblical times. And there is still no vaccine which could completely block its transmission, as has been used to defeat smallpox and polio. So leprosy work, therefore, requires skill, compassion, and patience. And because it is such a stigmatized disease, there are not always enough people in government health services who are willing to do this work. However, the good news is that the leprosy mission is full of people who see this work as their Christian vocation. It is their ministry to finish what Jesus started. By showing love and acceptance to people affected by leprosy, treating their infections, cleaning their wounds, both physical and emotional, and helping them to manage their disabilities and reclaim their place in society. One of the best examples of this Christ-like compassion and care for people affected by leprosy is the Leprosy Missions at Anandaman Hospital in Nepal, which I've had the privilege of visiting. Since 1957, this Christian hospital, perched on the edge of a mountain in a predominantly Hindu and very poor country, has been a beacon of light and hope for people affected by leprosy from all over Nepal. Such is the dedication of the team at this hospital that when the earthquake of 2015 shook down their own staff houses and damaged their wards, they moved the beds out into tents in the hospital courtyard and kept on working, providing the very best care that they could, both for the people affected by leprosy and for many from the wider community who turned up with broken bones, lacerations, traumatized children, and other injuries caused by the earthquake. All of them, equally, were treated with care and compassion, and this really boosted the reputation of Anandaman Hospital, of the Leprosy Mission, and of the God whom we all serve. And there were some really exciting testimonies which have come out of that difficult time in Nepal and the way Christians ministered through it. However, a boost to reputation also means growing demand, and this has also led to an expanded vision. The team at Anandaman Hospital are ambitious. As well as treating those who turn up at the hospital, they want to take their vital leprosy work out into the towns and mountain villages of Nepal. They want to send teams out to find cases of leprosy early and get them onto multi-drug therapy before the disease starts disabling their bodies. They want to trace the family contacts of those cases that they find and give those contacts a recently approved dose of a preventative drug, which can reduce, not prevent, but reduce the chance of relatives and neighbours also catching the disease. They want to find the people who've already developed nerve damage and get them physiotherapy and reconstructive surgery so they can regain their mobility and maintain their capacity to work and support themselves. They want to prove to others that leprosy is not a curse, but a disease which can be treated, a medical condition from which people can be cured and with which people can still live normal lives as valued members of their communities. They want their actions, as well as their words, to demonstrate the love of Christ, who first taught us how to love those whom others considered unclean. In short, they want to heal Nepal. This is an ambitious goal, but it is possible. The techniques are there and have been proven, and the Leprosy Mission staff in Nepal are willing to give it their all. What's really exciting is that even the British government have bought into this vision for leprosy work in Nepal. The Department for International Development is willing to help. Through UK Aid Match, they have promised us that for every pound that we raise for this campaign between now and the end of April will be matched by a pound from the UK government. So for every pound we raise, every pound you give today, the UK government will give another. This Heal Nepal campaign will strengthen the capacity of Anandaman Hospital to find, treat, and cure people affected by leprosy from all over Nepal. The more money we raise, the more communities in Nepal they can send their outreach into. Therefore, I have a simple question for you, which echoes the question asked by the man in the Gospels. He said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." So are you willing? Are you willing to give money to fund this project? Money that will be doubled by the UK government. Are you willing to pray for our team in Nepal, who will work long hours and brave dangerous mountain roads to find those affected by leprosy and show them the love and care that Jesus did? Are you willing to pray comfort, healing, and acceptance for those people already affected by this cruel disease? People who may have lost hope, who may have suffered discrimination from others. People who don't yet know God or the love, power, and compassion of his son, Jesus. As this church enters its year of prayer, it would be great if we could uphold this ministry in Nepal through our prayers here in Cambridge. And this prayer guide in your service sheet can really help you to do this over the next few months. So I would like to end the sermon by showing you a video, which is going to come on shortly, from Anandaban Hospital in Nepal. As you watch this video, I'd like you to look at the giving envelope and the prayer guide in your service sheet and ask yourself, how much are you willing to help those people affected by leprosy in Nepal? Thank you, and may God bless you as you bless others.